ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Granthraj Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 2, Text 13. Chapter entitled Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons. Text 13. Iti te bhartr nirdesham adaya sirasadrita tatha prajanam kadanam vidadu kadana priya iti te bhartur nirdesam adaya sirasadrita tatha prajanam kadanam vidadu kadana priya iti te bhartur nirdesam adaya sirasadrita tatha prajanam kadanam vidadu kadana priya Sadhita Ta Prajanam Kadanam Yadu Kadana. Mataji's, please. Vatu Nidesham Sadhita Iti, thus, te, they, bhartr, of the master, nirdesam, the direction, adaya, receiving, sirasa, with their heads, adrita, respecting, tatha, so also, prajanam, of all the citizens, kadanam, persecution, vidadu, executed, kadanapriya, who are expert in persecuting others. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Thus the demons, being fond of disastrous activities, took Hiranyakashipu's instructions on their heads with great respect and offered him obeisances. According to his directions, they engaged in envious activities directed against all living beings. Purport. The followers of demoniac principles as described here are thoroughly envious of the general populace. In the present day, scientific advancement exemplifies such envy. The discovery of nuclear energy has been disastrous to people in general, because demons all over the world are manufacturing nuclear weapons. The word kadanapriya is very significant in this regard. The demoniac persons who want to kill the Vedic culture are extremely envious of the feeble citizens, and they act in such a way that ultimately their discoveries will be inauspicious for everyone. Jagato Hita. The 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita fully explains how the demons engage in sinful activities for the destruction of the populace. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Budhule Srimati Devamrita Swaminiti Namine Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Budhule Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desidharini Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaurav Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare. So it sounds like Prabhupada is talking about some kind of conspiracy theory, isn't it? It's like, you know, demons and nuclear weapons and disasters, and it's amazing how Prabhupada could, you know, predict Trikala Gya, the past, present and future. He's talking about nuclear disasters and, you know, that could happen from nuclear weapons. And Prabhupada is not just saying it himself, but Prabhupada is quoting from the 16th chapter of the Gita. Prabhupada says the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita fully explains how the demons engage in sinful activities for the destruction of the populace. And as we know, at least Bhagavad Gita is at least 5,000 years old. It's nothing new. And I went through the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, and in text 7, 8 and 9, Krishna explains the position of the materialists. Krishna says in the 7th sloka, pravirittim cha nivrittim cha janana vidu asurajana na saucham na pichacharo na satyam teshu vidyate. Krishna says that those who are demoniac do not know what is to be done and what not to be done. Neither cleanliness nor proper behavior nor truth is found in them. And in text 8, Krishna says, asatyam apratishtam te jagad ahur anishvaram apparaspara sambhutam kim anyait kama haitukam. Krishna says, they say this world is unreal with no foundation. Isn't it amazing? God is speaking, the creator of everything. He knows what people say about, you know, his creation and about himself. So Krishna says, they say this world is unreal with no foundation, no God in control. They say it is produced of sex desire and has no cause other than lust. And this is the sloka that Prabhupada briefly quotes in the purport. Etam drishtam avastabhya nashtatmano alpabuddhaya. Krishna says, nashtatmano alpabuddhaya prabhavanti ugra karmana shayaya jagato hita. Following such conclusions as the ones we just discussed, the demoniac who are lost to themselves, who have no intelligence, Krishna says, engage in unbeneficial, horrible works meant to destroy the world. This is amazing. Krishna doesn't give them any credit. Krishna says that people who have no intelligence engage in unbeneficial, horrible works meant to destroy the world. Now, what happened in Japan, in Iraq, in Chernobyl, the scientists have coined a phrase. They say that we are actually physicians of a dying planet, they call it. First, we destroy the planet. It's like our own bed, our own habitat. No other species does that other than human beings. And then we call ourselves like physicians and all these nice terms. It's unfortunate. The Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunoi. Eternally, everybody is actually Krishna conscious. Everybody is a gopa or a gopi or, you know, some form we have in the spiritual world serving Krishna. But when we come in contact with Krishna's Bahiranga Shakti, external energy, this potential to serve becomes perverted, and we act in such a way that it causes so much disturbance. And this is not new. What we are reading from the Bhagavatam, it's like, you know, thousands of years old. Krishna is speaking in the Gita, this mentality, thousands of years ago. And Prabhupada is writing about, like, you know, at least like 40 years ago. So it's nothing new. And I came across this pastime of Vrikashura. And this pastime explains this mentality very nicely. How a materialist is given some kind of a blessing or a benediction, but instead of properly using it, we wanted to misuse it. Vrikasura was actually a very powerful demon, and he approached Narada Muni. See, even in the ancient times, even demons, they take guidance because they know, you know, who has the real information. So he approached Narada Muni and he asked him, like, you know, if I want some blessings, who's the, easiest one? Like, who can I approach? And Narada Muni told him, you know, if you approach Lord Shiva, who's Asutosh, who's easily pleased and easily angered, he's your best bet. So Vrikasura started performing this yajna, concocted this yajna of, surrounding himself by fire and cutting off his own flesh and throwing it in the fire as an offering to Lord Shiva. And some reason Lord Shiva didn't come, you know, being so disgusted. Finally, Vrikasura was so disappointed, he wanted to just cut off his head and throw it in the fire. So Lord Shiva, being so compassionate, approached him, appeared in front of him, and asked him what he would like, what kind of blessing, what can he do for him. And Vrikasura requested him, you know, I would like a blessing that, if I touch anyone's head, their head would crack into many pieces and they would die. Can you imagine working so hard and At the end you ask for a blessing like that. And so Lord Shiva said, okay, so be it, you know. He gave it to him. And Vrikashura, being Durbuddhi, you know, with such polluted intelligence, he wanted to see if this benediction was real. So he wanted to touch the head of the person who gave him that blessing. And Lord Shiva started like running in fear, and Vrikashura started chasing him all the way to the Vaikuntha planets, it says. And seeing Lord Shiva in trouble, Vishnu actually took a form of a little child, very cute, like a student, little student. And Vishnu approached Vrikashura and said, where are you going? Why are you running so fast? And Vrikashura explained, being charmed by this little kid, Vrikashura actually explained that, you know, he's about to test to see if the blessing really works. And this Vishnu, in the form of a child, he actually said, you know what, after being cursed by Daksha, Lord Shiva doesn't have any powers anymore. It's just, it's all gone. And Vrikashura was actually very, very disappointed to hear that. And Vishnu said, if you don't believe me, just test it on your own head. See if it works or not. So he just put his hand on his own head and exploded in many pieces and died. And it was a big celebration. So this is our position. Krishna gives us this fully furnished house and all facilities so that we can become pure devotees. But unfortunately we misuse our free will, durbuddhi, alpabuddhi. We create so much bad karma for ourselves and create so much disturbance. Unfortunately, if we think about it, these atomic weapons, they're not in the hands of some saintly personalities, you know, who like well-wishers of all living entities and who has like discriminative powers and self-controlled and like this. No, the powers, the buttons are actually in the hands of like some cruel like dictators. Any moment they could wish to just like press a button and, you know, it could affect like the lives of so many people. And, you know, being led, being influenced by such leaders, even in a place like India. Actually, one of my cousins, recently when I visited India, she's a, you know, big doctor in this Apollo hospital, and she's in head of the gynecology. So I asked her, like, you know, what's going on, and she explained to me that there are actually like 12 million abortions in India every year. This is just in India, where like, you know, the land of Dharma, 12 million abortions. Like if you think about it, you know, Hitler was responsible for killing like 6 million Jews or something, and even to this day it's like a big thing. And that took like few years for him to accomplish that, like 10 years or so. So in 10 years, just in India alone, if you add up, there are like 120 million children are being killed. And this is, you know, where Bhagavad Gita was spoken, you know, where Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken, the land of Dharma. What to speak of, you know, other parts of the world. It's just the karmic consequences we cannot imagine. It's just unbelievable. And nowadays, even how they measure, you know, how a country is successful or not, is based on, you know, how many animals, poor innocent animals have been killed and how much of the flesh can be imported to other countries, how much poisonous chemicals does our country produce, how many atomic weapons does our country possess. So, and also based on factories that produce like unlimited useless material products. This is actually how they judge which country is like, you know, number one. This is a very sad situation. And, you know, clean air, food, you know, good, you know, clean water, drinking water, all of this is disappearing. But that doesn't matter. All we care about is some, like, numbers, you know. Like, for example, in India, you cannot find any good honey. Any honey, it's like extremely expensive. Like if you go to some, you know, some store, very fancy store, they have like a teeny bit of honey, which is completely processed. It almost looks like corn syrup. And that's worth like hundreds of rupees. Like, you know, recently Madhu Kiran ordered a big jar of honey, raw honey, and we were eating with chapatis. So I was just thinking, I've never seen this in India, you know. So this is the position we wanted to follow. Andayatande Rupaniyamana Tepishu Tantra Urudam Nibadha. We want to follow this blind leaders, and we are also blind, and we end up in a ditch. So when situations like this happens, then Krishna says, he actually comes. Dharmasya glani. Whenever there is a dharmasya glani, whenever there is discrepancies in following the religious principles, and there is chaos, Krishna says he actually comes. So in this day and age, we are so fortunate that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appeared. Narottam Das Thakur sings, Patita Pavana Hetu Tava Avatar. He's come, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to actually give us the solution to all these problems we are in. Eneshi Aushadi Maya Nasi Baralagi Hari Nama Maha Mantra Lavatumi Magi. Mahaprabhu explains that, you know, I have the perfect medicine for your diseased condition. Namely the Harinam Sankirtan. Even though the world is like going to hell in a handbasket, the Harinam Sankirtan and Srila Prabhupada's teachings can actually like free us, at least for some sincere souls that want to become free. Because it's explained, Kali Yuga is not an accident. It's Krishna providing facility for those who want to experience all the things that's going on. It's not an accident. It's like, the example is given, if it's like a heavy rain, and if somebody is holding an umbrella, it's not like just by them holding an umbrella, the rain is going to stop. But if you like, and if the umbrella is big enough, if you like, you can go under the umbrella. And that way you will not be affected by the rain. Similarly, the Kali Yuga is not going to stop, but Mahaprabhu is actually holding his umbrella of Harinam Sankirtan. And those souls that are sincere can actually participate. It's not like everybody out there is a demon and a rascal. All of us, we were, before we came across Prabhupada's books. We didn't know what was right or wrong. We were engaging in all kinds of sinful activities. But somehow or other, we were innocent in the sense, when the right thing was offered to us, we took it, and then, you know, here we are, you know, practicing the highest philosophy. So that chance we must give to others. We must be out there presenting this philosophy so there those who are innocent can actually participate. We shouldn't just have this like mentality, sectarian mentality, like them and us, and you know, they're demons and we are devotees, like that kind of mentality. But We should be careful not to associate, but at the same time we should be like willing to share with them this treasure. And it's so beautiful. Just like when we go on Harinam, Sankirtan or book distribution, we go right into the heart of the cities or schools or, you know, festivals, where like people are engaged in all kinds of like horrible activities, but we go in and we sing and dance so loudly in their face. So it's like, you know, horrible activities are going on, but the medicine is also right there. For some people are like so amazed to see the, you know, bright-faced devotees singing and dancing even in like gloomy weathers and when there's like recession or whatever is going on. Devotees are so oblivious. Like one bhakta was dancing so much, and one guy came to me and asked him, I'm sure everybody experienced this, and he said to me, this guy is as high as a kite. He said, what is he on? I said, he's on nothing. We don't even like, you know, take any caffeine, or to speak of other, you know, drugs. He's like, no, you must be kidding me. You better tell me, what is he on, you know? Of course, it was Caesar. He was Caesar. He was like dancing a little wildly, but the point is, people are like amazed. And just the fact we are happy, they can't stand it. They have to come up with some kind of philosophy to tear us down. Prabhupada, you know, said actually that if the karmis are not attacking us, that means we must be doing something wrong. In other words, if we are not, you know, being accused and attacked and taken to court, Prabhupada said that means we are not preaching enough. We become, you know, just by chanting Hare Krishna and being happy, we actually become a threat to the materialist. Because here we are, like, we're dancing like, you know, men on one side on Harinam and the woman on the other side. The karmis are like bewildered, you know, we are like squeezing, you know, as tightly as you could with the opposite sex, and we're not finding any bliss. But you guys are like separated and you're dancing and you get so much happiness. So those who are envious, they will find a way to tear us down and find fault in us. It's like, for example, in the communist time, regime, they thought three things were against, they were like dangerous to their movement. American jeans, Coca-Cola, and the Hare Krishna books. Because in the first pages of our books, Prabhupada writes how this movement, these books are written to cause a revolution in the misdirected civilization. Doesn't take much, you just read the first few pages. They get the message. So they actually felt, they were not afraid of big gangs or wars or drugs or like this. They thought the Hare Krishna books are very dangerous, and they were finding all kinds of ways to suppress us. Even in the pastimes of Mahaprabhu, it is said that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would have kirtan in the Sriva Sangam, you know, not everybody could appreciate. They couldn't understand, you know, the love for God. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is come in the form of His devotee and is chanting His own names, and everybody is going into ecstasy. Not many people can understand. There were many materialistic devotees or Brahmins, caste Brahmins. They were spreading horrible rumors even against Mahaprabhu's chanting and dancing. They used to say that they take like this really, really strong drugs, and they doing all kinds of tantric activities, you know, seducing women, and, you know, they're just like really low-class people. And they're chanting the names of Krishna so loud that it's going to wake up the Supreme from the causal ocean, and He's going to come and destroy all of us. And they were, even telling Haridas Thakur and Mahaprabhu that this mantra should be chanted very softly, and this mantra cannot be distributed to anyone and everyone. It's meant for like high class pure Brahmins. And some envious Brahmins, they were doing all kinds of activities. For example, Gopal Chappal, he put this paraphernalia for worshipping Kali, worshipping Chandi, like chicken and blood and kumkum and eggs and all kinds of things outside the door of Srivas Thakur, just to show the world that he's actually a tantric. And at night he worships like, you know, all kinds of spirits in a secretive way. And Srivas Thakur was undisturbed. In the morning he opened the door and he actually called everybody. Everybody come and look, you know, who I am. Actually I am. This is the position of Vaishnava. And he was unfazed. So this is the position in summary, that we are living in Kali Yuga, where, you know, the leaders are blind and, you know, it's a very chaotic situation, very little interest in spirituality, or the very few people actually know what is the real spiritual thing to follow. But somehow or other, we've come across this rare Krishna consciousness movement, Kali Yuga. So by practicing Krishna consciousness, we will come across so many opposing elements. But just like we're reading in this chapter, and we're going to celebrate on Friday Narsingadev's appearance, Prahlad Maharaj was actually also a great example of how somebody was just practicing Krishna consciousness. And even his own father became envious of him, gave him such hard time. So these things can happen. So tolerating all provoking situations, we should go on like applying this simple process of chanting Hare Krishna mantra and distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. And this way it's predicted that the next 10,000 years will actually be a golden age within the Kali Yuga. There'll be so many sincere people that will receive these books and come and join us. People are actually looking for some alternative. People are hungry. We just have to present it. Do we have any questions or comments? Anything you would like to add? From Sankirtan, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. There's always great opportunity to say something in class, you know, when you say some comments, to fire up a little bit what you try to inject to our brain and heart. Yesterday I met one lady who was maybe 40 years old. He has two children. And she, when I showed them the books, she said, "Oh, I love it. I love it, these books." And she told me about also, about this, the one friend of her was telling her about all this, you know, controversy theory. You know, she said how this tsunami was probably produced, you know, by some demoniac people. You know, they can control weather. I, you know, say a little bit about, you know, our books. And she opened the Bhagavad Gita and she read one line on a Spanish. She knows a little bit English. And she said, "Oh, this is for me. This is, you know, just one line from Bhagavad Gita." You know, she was so happy. So she said she will come next Sunday, hopefully. And, you know, otherwise I will call you. She gave me telephone number. And, yeah, she will come. And that's it, you see. As the people are aware, you know, what's going on in the world, you know, like this controversy theory, and they know, some of them don't know about it. So this is example what you're saying, like how, you know, she got the medicine and she was attracted. She was into Buddhism also, she was into many Catholic Christian, you know, but she was attracted by Bhagavad Gita. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for a very nice presentation, Shashakri Prabhu. It's kind of a personal question. You mentioned that your cousin was the head of gynecology, and she's very fortunate to be related to you. So did you make her aware of the karmic reaction for what she's in charge of there?
Well, when somebody is like so deeply into it, it's hard to just, I don't know, I did express when she mentioned how many children have been killed every year, right? I did mention few things, and you know, she was like, she looked like she was alarmed, and first time she's actually hearing these things, even though she's also from a Sri Vaishnava family, nobody told her about these things. And also, like many of my friends, when I went home, India is actually number 3 in exporting leather in the whole world. And many, many of my friends, they're actually into this leather technology. They're actually like, they've studied this thing, how to tan the leather, bleach the leather and ship it overseas. And they're in big positions. So one of them asked me, any spiritual advice you can give me? I told him directly, you know, it's like such bad karma to be in leather industry, get out. And he says, what will I do? I dropped out of high school and this is all I know. I really worked for many, many years to learn this and worked my way up, and since I was 15 years old. I don't know anything else. How will I support my family? They have this sentiment like, you know, work is worship and, you know, factories, temple and crude oil is charanamrita. So this kind of the work is worship mentality, and they're already deeply into it, so it's hard to, you know, help them come out. But I did give them books and, you know, mention few things, gave them beads and encouraged them to at least chant side by side. But it's really amazed how much they're into their profession and money making and dreams and plans. It's really difficult. Is there anything else? One last thing. Turn here.
Okay. So, I have a question. Based on what you said, it's ironic because, not ironic. But yesterday I was thinking about this comment in my mind, and you addressed something around the area today. So I want to share this comment and question with you, and if you can share your feedback, it would be great. Every devotee should know why they are doing what they are doing when it comes to dancing in the street and chanting, how and why they dress the way they do. But they do not, and this is dangerous. Call it a gang mentality or mob mentality. A gang versus a group of saints. One is dangerous, the other is the savior of the world. This occurs because one is driven in ignorance and the other is in transcendence. So basically, what I'm confused about is sometimes I see questions from the devotees here, and there's some things are not clear. For example, like the dancing and the chanting and the way they dress, the way, you know. So these questions, you know, they're very important to understand the difference between saintly activity and an activity that's, you know, in a sense demonic and gang-like. So I'm confused about that position when you're talking about how you know, it's dangerous.
I'm confused myself after that question. No, I'm just kidding. So what is the question? Why we chant, why we dance, and why we dress like the way we dress?
That's one part of the question. And then the other part of it is when you go out and people are, you know, wondering about these things, but that would be give you such power as a bhakta to tell them exactly why, you know, these things are happening, from the dress, all the material regulations, you know, they project the spiritual world. You know, they can project a route.
Because we are kind of out of time, we can discuss in breakfast. Like, Bhrigu wants to say something, can you?
Oh, let's comment about that. What I heard was, what his question was, what I was picking up is that, why is it that some of the members aren't able to explain why they dress the way they dressed, why they're chanting, and why they're dancing? That's what I heard was the actual question. That's what I picked up out of that. And my response to that would be that they do understand, and not everybody's expert at explaining things. It's much harder to explain something than it is to understand something. There's a lot of things everybody understands, but you ask them to explain the same thing, and they have a hard time doing it. So as younger devotees, you know, the newer members, they might not have so much experience or even, you know, practice at just explaining why it is that we're doing what we're doing, but they understand. All the members understand why we're dressed the way we're dressed and why we're chanting and why we're dancing. It's just, you know, as I said, as new members, it's difficult to maybe for them to explain it in a way that's intellectually satisfying to somebody else. But they will be able to do that in due course of time. And in the meantime, I think they do understand. That's my conviction anyway.
Very nice. Bhrigupati Prabhu is like a Hamsa bird. He knows how to extract the nectar. Okay, Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.